Good morning. Most of you know I'm a believer. I'm actually a skeptic by nature. But long ago, I made a decision. I made a rational, thought-out choice to believe. I believe in the story of a virgin birth some 2,000 years ago. I believe in the miracle of the Hanukkah lamp that burned for 8 days with only 1 day worth of oil. I believe in the pagan God that is reborn on Yule. I believe in Santa Claus, who still fills my stocking. I am a believer. I wasn't always so. Even as a child, I was a little skeptic. And I quietly hid my doubts about God, the nature of reality, and the universe. I hid my doubts about all sorts of things, including the illusory Mr. Claus who entered and left no trace. And I know I looked. I was raised in a house where such things were not questioned. Children who questioned Mr. Claus got no presents. Children who questioned God went to hell. So I grew up to be a skeptic, for a short while anyway. But then I fell in love. And the boy I loved and I went on a family Christmas trip to see his uncle. And I woke up one Christmas morning to find a stocking with my name. After years of being gone from my life, Santa had returned, and a little magic came back with him this time. And being in love, having children, softens a girl. I began to see the world with new eyes, the eyes of the man I love, and eventually the eyes of our children. And I decided that I would believe in miracles, and I would believe in magic, because I could. Over the years, the boy has taught me much about Christmas magic. When his parents were first married, they had no money for Christmas, only food stamps. So they decorated a tree with what they could buy with food stamps. Gingerbread, popcorn, cranberries. And so every year we sit with children and we make gingerbread and we string popcorn and cranberries. And we tell our children the story every year of that first Christmas. Another story we tell is how his mother cried when she got married. Her new husband asked her why the tears, and she explained that Santa would never come for her again. Santa came for girls. Once you grew up and got married, Santa doesn't ever visit you again. Sometime later, Christmas came, and my mother-in-law awoke to a stocking with her name brought by Santa. Much the way I would awake some 25 years later after that first Christmas, with a stocking with my name, and a reassurance that magic could still be. And some 30 years after that first Christmas, another young girl would get married. This time it was my sister-in-law, who was in tears, asking her mother, "How do you make Christmas?" She knew that Christmas was magic, and she knew it was her mother who made the magic for her. And now she was a grown woman, and it was time to make magic of her own. I am still a skeptic, and I question everything. I'm a seeker, if you will. But I'm a skeptic who has chosen to believe in the magic that humans create, in the holy that surrounds us, and in the days we choose to make the magic, that we choose to make part of creating the holy. Now, as much as I love the coming holiday, and if you can't tell, I really, really love the coming holiday. For me, this time, the time we're sitting in, the weeks leading up to the holiday have always been difficult. In addition to the stress of preparing for a major holiday, the days are shorter, the darkness longer, and depression always feels as though if it were and is a heartbeat away. Add in worries about money. And then add the holiday enforcers. The holiday enforcers are the people who are not content until every single blessed conversation starts with, "Are you ready for Christmas?" And normally, rational, intelligent adults that I work with have conversations that devolve into debates about turkey versus ham, sweet potato pie versus pumpkin. The Christmas decorations at work were up before Thanksgiving. The Monday after Thanksgiving, I went into my office. I came out for lunch to the sound of bells ringing on my door. The entire office, including my door, was exploding with red and green and tinsel and bells. I was writing the sermon 5 days into the month of December, and I'm not sure I'll make it to the end of the month without beating a bell ringer with their own bell. It feels like the world has gone into fast forward, and my body and mind are screaming for a pause. And in what I call the secular world, I feel like this time we're in has no meaning, that it's simply worn down into days. But meaning is much like belief. I don't think belief is an emotion. Belief is a choice that is made sometimes every day, every hour, and every second. And meaning is much the same. No day of any year has meaning without our choice and our consent. Christmas is just December 25th with a wounded tree. Hanukkah's a few days with candles and bets placed on a spinning top. And the Yule is just the solstice. But long ago, our ancestors searched for meaning. And they found their meaning in their gods and their traditions. Traditions passed from parent to child, generation to generate, simultaneously creating unique identities as a people and passing along knowledge of the world and what they believed the world beyond. The origin of the word holidays is holy, literally holy days. Days we as people designate for worship and meaning. This time of year that I find so stressful and meaningless does have meaning in other traditions. Liturgical Christians celebrate Advent. Advent is a time of the preparation for the coming of the Christ. They retell the story of the times that lead up to the birth. The baby isn't born yet, the virgin's still pregnant. Joseph is still finding out that, oh wait, God's kid. During this time of the story, liturgical Christians fast as they prepare for God to become flesh. It is the fast time that leads into the feast. This year, I'm celebrating an Advent of my own and encouraging the people I love to as well. I'm meditating. I'm focusing each day on the day in front of me rather than looming holiday. I'm focusing on self-care and introspection rather than on my own never-ending holiday to-do list. I am visiting friends more. I am shopping. And if you see my house, you know this, cleaning less. I am taking the time to examine what it is that feeds my sense of life and wonder and what drains it. And as I do shop and wrap, I am cognizant that I am making magic. I am part of making that which is holy to me. I didn't come here today to convert anyone to the magic of Christmas, although I could be that missionary. And I didn't come to convert to the mysticism of Advent. Rather, I came to ask, what's holy to you? In a season filled with holy days, what speaks to your soul? What brings a sense of wonder into your life? Is it a baby born? Is it the beauty of the mountain that we're sitting on? A mathematical equation? What makes your heart sing and your soul lighten for just a moment? Where do you find meaning? Is it in gathered family? Is it in that wounded tree sparkling with lights? Is it in your chalice? In our shared principles? Christmas is a holy day for me. And Advent is the holy dark. But it doesn't have to be for anyone else. The gift of Unitarian Universalism is that we are not given instructions on holy days and meaning. The responsibility of Unitarian Universalism is we are not given instructions on holy days and meaning. There is no liturgical calendar. There is no priest to tell us when to fast or pray or meditate, or that we have to fast or pray or meditate. There is no one to tell us when to feast or how to create that feast. There's no one to tell us to take a rest, to take time out from our endeavors and reflect on what's truly meaningful in our lives. We choose the days we find holy. We create and choose the meaning that matters to each of us. We are invited by this tradition to create our own traditions and to celebrate these days meaningfully and thoughtfully. The danger to me is when we don't take responsibility and create our own traditions. The secular world speaks loudly about holidays. Many of us are given days off around the Christian calendar, whether we're Christian or not. Black Friday, or the day retailers move from red to black, has become a holiday of its own. Literally a holiday, it's dedicated to buying lots and lots of stuff the day after you were supposed to sit and be grateful for all the stuff you had. Just saying. The world will tell us when to shop, how to shop, and exactly what to buy to make holidays perfect. The world will tell us that what we need needs to be purchased. But the world will not tell us how to make a day meaningful. The world will not tell us how to create tradition that speaks to our individual sense of the holy. And there is no priest to tell us how and when. It's a choice that we have to make for ourselves. Since the beginning of time, our ancestors have made meaning. They have reveled in the earth's rotation, in the rhythm of light and dark. They have set aside time. Time to work, time to rest, times to fast and meditate, and times to feast and party. Now we must carefully observe these times and make our own choices about when they shall be. This day I'm inviting you to think about your own traditions, to think about what you find holy, what brings you joy during this dark time that precedes the holy days of light. And I invite you to embrace the sacred wherever you find it and enjoy truly holy days. Amen, shalom, and blessed be.